that we all have is on item number one. Shall we close our eyes and observe a moment of silence for prayer and meditation? Good morning, honourable members, once more, and good morning to the telecommunications and postal services delegation. Good morning to the staff and our guests in this meeting. I wish to welcome all of you to this very, very meeting. It is a meeting where we will be receiving a briefing from the telecommunications and postal services on its fourth quarter expenditure pattern for the 2015-16 financial year, as well as the first quarter of 2016-17. So if we can focus just on this accounting period, these two accounting periods, it shouldn't go beyond the others, you know, other quarters are coming, but now today is just us. So we are counting on this two quarters. My primary objective in the mandate of the committee, as provided for in the Money Bills Act, is to ascertain whether the spending patterns of departments are in line with the voted budget and tabled strategic plans and annual performance plans. As we engage on these presentations, the committee wishes to gain clarity not only for the MPs but also for the taxpayers who contribute tax for me and you to be paid, but also for the budget that is going to service the people. And the taxpayers indeed wish to see that their taxpayer funds, I repeat, because I want us to get everyone right, not our money, it's the taxpayers' money. The taxpayer funds are spent in accordance with the principles of equity, efficiency, and effectiveness as envisioned in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The committee will seek to clearly understand all critical areas of budget spending performance and of service delivery implications for targets contained in the National Development Plan and the medium-term strategic framework. The committee is required by Section 4, Subsection 3 and Subsection 3 on the Money Bills Act to conduct in-year monitoring on spending issues. So we have got spending issues of national departments. So after the tabling of the expenditure report by the National Treasury, the committee begins to shortlist government departments and prioritize those that are showing some measure, underlying measure rate, reflect and challenges. Therefore, the Telecommunications and Postal Services Department was one amongst other departments which were identified for a hearing on their spending and service delivery performance. As we deliberate, the intention is to explore and formulate concrete proposals that will ensure that we fast track, I repeat, the rollout of South Africa Connect and the rollout of the broadcasting digital migration, and that we also turn around our South Africa post office. We wish to entrench information and communication technology as key drivers in the radical transformation of our communities towards a connected society and an inclusive knowledge economy. So let us indeed, you are welcome, so let's engage and let them back on constructive and meaningful engagement so that we don't feel like we came to waste our time and achieve on the mission of this committee. Thank you very much. You are all welcome. Now we will then move to item number three, which is apologies. I'll ask the secretaries to provide us with the apologies.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, and guests. We have received four apologies from the committee member side. The first one is from Mr. Kwankwa of the UDM, the second one is from Ms. Boring Shimikunyana, ANC. Third one, Dr. MJ Feet, DA. Fourth one is from Mr. Sheikh Imam of the NFP. Furthermore, we've received apologies from both the Minister and the Deputy Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services. Thank you.
Honourable Members, do you accept the apologies? Honourable Member, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. May I just request the different by midday? May I be excused?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Honourable Member Madoka.
Shall we then proceed to item number four? You just heard that we have time constraints. But if you go, there's no way in which we can proceed to the meeting because we do not be in line with the rules of the Parliament. Shall we then proceed to item number four, which is presentation by the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, which is the Acting Director General. So over to you, Acting Director General.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, also thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to address you today. Just before I start, also add to the policies which were given by the Minister to provide some understanding as to why they are not here. The Minister is attending what is called the Broadband Commission of the United Nations. He is a member of the Broadband Commission. He's among the people that are trusted and to connect the 5.7 billion people that have in this country. So they are deliberating with respect to that. The Deputy Minister is in Kenya, also an inter-African meeting also to focus on technology, now to digital technology. She left in Africa and she's a second bank sometimes in the world. My name is Steve John Dwaha. I'm the Acting Director General, and I would like them to introduce the team which are I'm heading into this deliberation and discussion. I've got DDG of Governance and Administration, Philippe Lemondini. Can you also supply so then I'm having also Mr. Huma, who's the audit chair. Then I've got Renee Lelanga, who is the chief director of the state owned entities. I've got the CFO of our department, Joe Matana. I've got Paul Makwati, who's acting chief internal officer of the department. Then I've got Rebulang Soldat, the director of finance. And then finally, I've got Tamiya Pukin. I would like to note that we are progressing around the issue of balancing gender in the structure of the department. Our delegation is broadly representative of the department, and the women taking quite a big role in terms of the leadership. Thank you. My initial engagement with the discussion is to point out that we were allocated about 1.4 billion rand. past 10. We spent about 1.3 billion rand out of the 1.4 billion rand. If we're going to be taking any beating today with respect to under expenditure, it has to do with about 105 million rand which we could not spend during the course of the year. So we are about only 5% in terms of our under expenditure. And the reason why we couldn't spend the 105 million rand in the main turn around the issue of that we believed in filling a vacant position. I think there were 3 DDGs. And that delay also is understandable because the DDGs who were there were still challenging us in terms of the labor process. Since there were disciplinary cases which involved them. Now we couldn't fill the post because there was uncertainty as to when those processes would actually finalize. The second reason also for the non-expenditure of the 105 million relates to the implementation of the Southern Connect broadband project, which is one of the key projects of the department. Now we were delayed because we were involved in government discussing how to implement or a decision which was taken by cabinet in February of 2015 around the question of designation of the lead agency or the implementer of the project. The money they allocated has started to undergo process to implement the project. So it delayed quite some time and we couldn't fulfill it last year up until the resolution was taken that leadership started to go to tender, which we have done now, so that's why you can see someone who's going to do it. And we are hoping that the result of the tender process is going to finalize in the course of next month. Now, those parts which we couldn't find, then we decided to divert them and to utilize them for other things which were happening in government. The first one, 700 million rand, went to SANTEC. SANTEC is a stable entity which is responsible for leading us to the digital environment. Putting up the infrastructure for Africa to move from analog broadcasting into a clearer picture in the digital broadcasting so as to release a lot of the space which is being used by broadcaster for the cellular cabinets to be in a position to give us faster data and other things which are associated with better communication. So we took the money and then we gave it to them because they have to fund two things concurrently now. They have to fund the old transmissions which were there and the new transmissions. So we're in a period where the two have to coexist and then there were short of money with respect to this. Then another one which we subtract also from our budget, then related to 50 million rand which we gave to the South African Post Office. Now this one relates to something that is fundamental around the issue of accessibility of every home, every person in South Africa, the ability for us actually to have an address of individuals. So there is a national policy which we've been debating for quite some time. How is it possible for us to ensure that every home in South Africa has got an address which is specific, which is there? So there is a national address rollout project, which is the now, the sixth term address, and I would like at some other time to actually present to you this national address system, which has been agreed to. We then talk about solving issues like, for instance, when the Electoral Commission says that they need to know who you are, why you are voting within a particular district, and whether your name appears in the voter roll, and it can be verified. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a system which is sorting out their problem. So last year, arising out of a number of considerations, and we had to have the post office to get the system, to finalize the system, and to run it up. It has been rolled out. Now, I'm going to stop here and ask the CFO to take us through the numbers as to what we did with the resources which were given to us, the next 5 months. What is it given to us? Where are the areas of understanding? Where are the areas of overspending? And how we went about balancing the portfolio. But safe to say that a year previous to the year we are coming forward, as the department gets recorded about 81% achievement in the factory, and now we can say it because it is audited. That last year we recorded about 69%. So this is the year most probably in our books, which was one of those years where we were ramping up performance, where we were delivering more, where we were utilizing more of the resources which were in achievement. So it is a year which is a landmark in the sense that the turnaround which we had to effect took place. We also had promised that we're going to turn around the Southern Post Office. We did also turn around the Southern Post Office. The agencies which are under us are performing better, much better as a result of the resources which are given to us by the taxpayers as well to achieve the temporary shopping district level. And I'm then going to ask CFO now to take us to
and members. I will take you through the fourth quarter expenditure, and we'll also focus on the fifth quarter expenditure, and we'll also focus on the ATC targets that were not achieved in the fourth quarter and as well in the fifth quarter. And then after that, the invitation also wanted us to provide progress regarding the in resolving the challenges around the South African Post Office. With regards to the fourth quarter expenditure per program, with regards to administration, in fact, the budget that was allocated to the department is 1.4 billion. And out of that, the department has spent about 1.3 billion, and which amounts to 92.5%. In administration, it's almost 100%. And then ICT International Affairs is 95%. The policy branch spent 76% due to the filling of the vacancy and also some of the projects that were not completed. And then ICT SOC is 99%. And then infrastructure support, as the DG has indicated, is sitting at 85%. Because of the broadband rollout project. When we look at the economic classification for quarter four, the compensation of employees were given the budget of 196 million and the expenditure of 181 million because of those posts that were not filled at the time. So we are sitting at 92%. Goods and services, we are sitting at 72% because of mainly the cross-train rollout project. Part of the money is sitting under goods and services. With regards to the transfers, all the transfers were made. We're sitting at 99%. And then payment for capital assets, we're sitting at 25%. And then payment for financial assets is sitting at 100%. With regards to the detail on the transfer, for you, we've done 100% there according to the budget, and including the membership fee for international organizations that the department subscribes to. Slide six, it's mainly the explanation as the SDG has indicated. I will just skip those two because he went into detail with regards to that. And the utilization of the broadband funds that were also diverted to Sendek and stuff. With regards to the first quarter report for 2016-17 financial year, with regards to the expenditure pair program, the department was given, was allocated about 2.7 billion and the projected budget for the third quarter, it was projected to spend about 965 million, but we ended up spending about 739 million, and that amounts to 31% of the budget, which is slightly higher than the normal 25% that Treasury would expect us to spend. But the 10% is mainly because of the transfer of the 660 million that was made to SAPO at the beginning of the financial year. So that's what's taking up that percentage to 31%. And then if you look at the ICT International Affairs, it's sitting at 9%. It's understanding there because the money lying there is mainly for the member, the international membership fee that will only now be transferred in the second quarter. Or we have, as we speak, we have transferred some of that money. And then under the infrastructure support, which is sitting at 0.6%, it's understanding because of the broadband rollout project. When we look at the expenditure per economic classification, in terms of the population of employees, we are sitting at 22%, which is fair. And then goods and services there is sitting at 8% because of the bulk of the money relating to the broadband project. So it's making it to understand significantly. And then transfers, as I've alluded, we have not yet transferred, but in the second quarter report, you will see that most of those transfers will go through there. Then the overall expenditure for quarter one is sitting at 81%. And then transfers, I have indicated here. And then just briefly on the variances, it is mainly the COE or the post that we're not filled, but the department is doing everything in its power to fill those posts. And then with regards to the transfers, will be done in the second quarter, also to the SOC fees as well. Coming to the performance information, we were requested to report on the APC targets that were not achieved for both quarter four and quarter one. What we have listed there, we have only listed those targets that were not achieved. But in total, for the previous financial year, the department had a total of 48 targets, and only four that were not achieved. And those four is mainly on the review of the of the mandates of the SOCs, mainly the CETEC and CETA. So the first two, which is the revising of the mandate and the recommendation report on CETA, does not have financial implications. But if you look at the third one, the INES bill, it also doesn't have the financial implications. I think that is the project that will be over, that will be rolled out with the Department of Higher Education. And then there's also one project, there's a broadband project. I see it was not indicated there. But then with regards to this, we were, as a department, we requested to connect about 1,296 sites for the year. But then in quarter four, we did not achieve any of that target. So that is the underspending of the targets that were not achieved, especially the one that's having the financial implication, which is the phase one of the digital development plan.
Thank you very much, CSO. Now, we were also required to reflect on the question of the subutilization and the turnaround of the Southampton Post Office. We do take the Post Office as one of the fundamental organizations which we have with the state in terms of its reach. It reaches more Southampton than any other institution which is there in Southampton, which is there in more locality. In particular, it's there in the rural areas where other economic structures are starting to not exist. So when the Post Office went into the crisis and the problem is underwent, we had them to consider what and to do with regards to turn it around. we devised a turnaround strategy, and the turnaround strategy had to then go to negotiation with labor, adoption formally by the Slovakian Post Office. It had also to be adopted by cabinet, because it had a lot of fundamental issues around the question of service delivery. The repositioning of the post office in order to play a particular role in the future around the issues of government service delivery. So all those negotiations were successful. Turnaround strategy was adopted and formally by cabinet sometime in the But what was the underlying problem which we were seeking to resolve with respect to the post office? It was the issue of leadership instability. Over time, the post office did not have the requisite leadership in place in order for it to undertake negotiations with great difficulty, which needed a task in terms of leadership being able actually to live up to it. Now, instead of the leadership of the post office, entered into a series of agreements, very, very costly agreements with labor, but they never fulfilled their part of the bargain, which then led to consistent strike. And I think it's another point in time. We had the issue of the strike which lasted for about 6 months in the post office. Now, they could not resolve that strike, and then the issues which emanating from that strike actually continued then to be leveled to the organization, and leading them to a situation where the post office could not then deliver services on a prolonged basis. So in terms of then addressing it, we needed then to dissolve the board and then put in place a board which is capable of dealing with the challenges that the post office was doing. That's what that. And to manage another level, and I think it is probably a truism that immediate organizations are under stress. The first people to leave are those who are capable, because they can't find work somewhere. Now we left them with leadership in the second tier, which is supposed to be filling in the vacancies of those who have left, which is not as capable or not as experienced as the ones that have left. So also again, the level of management, they were being serious care with respect to them, the people who could help the post office to resolve it. Now we have appointed the people actually who needed to be appointed, and I think it's public knowledge now. They've got the CEO who's actually doing it. But I come back to the appointment also, why there was a delay is that there were contractual issues between those who have been fired by the board or those who have been dismissed, who were taking the board itself actually then to the CCMA, taking the board to labor processes. But fortunately, all of those processes have been completed, and I think the appointments actually have been done. So the government structures are in place now. Now, then the next big issue is that the post office needed about 3.4 billion rand in order for it to fund the operations and to undertake this repositioning. I'm happy to say that in the course of last year, Treasury, working together with us, we agreed to them that we're going to extend guarantee to the post office to the tune of about 3.4 billion pounds. And the post office had to go to the financial institution in order then to raise the money against this guarantee which was issued. Now that money has been raised for us, too. So we are over the crisis. There's not enough cash now in order for them to actually do the operation which they need to do. Amongst the people they owed the most, it was their own labor, because of the agreements they've entered into. So if the process was going to be operationally effective going forward, it has to resolve the issue of paying labor what was due to it, the agreements that they've entered into. Now that is the first order of business, once that they got the money, which they then attended to. Now we're happy to say that the post office now has got an agreement with labor which covers over 3 years to actually resolve all the issues which are there. So we're not expecting any side as by actually affecting them this turnaround in terms of the operation with the post office. Another major issue with the post office which needed to be resolved also related to the issue of this the bank, the post bank. It has delayed for quite some time, and I think we are happy also then to announce that the post bank now has got an agreement with the Reserve Bank to start the operations of setting up this post bank. Now, it is going to be a bank like any other bank with all of their abilities, but it is more than all other banks in our understanding of what it is going to be doing. It will be focused on rural areas, Because that's called the biggest race. If no one understands the parents were parents. It should be dealing with a set of society which do not have the facilities of service, including financial access. Okay. So it is different. So with respect to the post office, and I think a long way has been achieved, and I think all the problems which were made the problems of the post office were resolved in the context of the last year. So what then needs to be done by the post office, it's a very challenging environment where they're operating in. I think the last time I received myself, one of them was 15 years ago. We all email each other now. Now, but 50% of their revenues are still dedicated or coming out of the mail business. So they need to reposition themselves out of the mail dominated environment into a digital environment where they themselves actually play a role around the issue of how we use and communicate now. Now, the post office, we think it's up to the task. It has got products already tested, so it started rolling out. Secure mail, you can track and trace your parcel. They still have to move towards the e-environment, create a platform for you and me to trade, also using internet. So it's almost like an internet company to think about. And but you have to turn this ship, which is so huge. I think they've got about 2,400 offices everywhere in the country, so it has to change. It has to be a facility for people actually to go there and do the things now, how we communicate rather than how we use communicate in the past. The last part of this turnaround also is how do they play a role with respect to the delivery of government services. We have seen them doing something very innovative around this area. For instance, if you want to go faster to get your license renewed, car license renewed, they are far better than the transport facilities that are doing this. But they need to do more. They need to be integrated in the government service delivery model so that every citizen actually can wake up at any time during the day, go to the post office, receive the services that are coming. But that is the aspect that we should be more difficult. I think the theoretical aspect of designing the turnaround is that the financial side of it to fund it is done. We still need to discuss and to deal in the country with the issue of if we can fund health, why wouldn't we also devote resources to fund cross-site activities? So to enable people actually to talk to government on an ongoing basis. So this is a big discussion which we need to have to say that those of us who are receiving services which are not financial or were not financially capable of doing it, how do they unite with government? Can the post office fill that role? But that is really the detail most probably we'll be talking to you about in the course of next year in terms of the progress that we've achieved in resolving that problem. And until now, the post office, we can say, is on the right road. It has got the resources, it has got the adequate leadership, the governance is proper, yeah, interface is used. Those who would buy it actually be paid, and so it's almost a person actually standing up ready to join the marathon. Into the future. Thank you very much.
You say we will meet next year or next quarter?
We will give you the progress report in the course of next quarter, but the turnaround, in order for it to really to be sustainable and to be acceptable, I think we think that we will report next year and how far it's going to run in terms of the turnaround report.
We will be monitoring each quarter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honourable members. You've been listening to an interesting briefing. So I will now allow you to reflect on this briefing and then interrogate the briefing. Over to you. Honourable member Dr. Mlope, honourable member Mr. McLaughlin, honourable member Ms. Manana, honourable member Ms. Lou.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. We welcome your presentation from the Department of Telecommunication. The acting DG on the compensation side, where they understand, said the challenge was around of the failure to fill a vacant position of the DGD. Because they were still challenging the department, they would have not filled it. I want to check, was it the only position for EDGs that were not filled? If no, how many other positions the department has that are not filled, that are funded? Secondly, on the same issue. On the filling of the positions. Are these positions critical positions that are not filled? The second one, Jen, is around the issue of the digital migration. South Africa declared 2020 as a deadline for the digital migration when it was launched. Considering the slow progress in the issuing of subsidies to the households to obtain the set-top box, how will the department intend ensuring that this does not hamper or delay the release of the spectrum which is key to the attainment of the digital migration project in 2020? Also, you in your slide, you have indicated also the reasons for under expenditure is an amount of 100 million that was not transferred to CENTEC for digital terrestrial television migration project. Can the department explain to us what steps the department is going to take or have taken to ensure that this does not impact negatively on the 2020 deadline? And how far is the department with regards to the appointment of Telkom as a lead entity to implement South African Connect broadband project, which was Cabinet the Hoopla resolution in February 2015? Also, in the slide 510, the department reported that it has spent 100% of the transfer budget, which amounts to 728.6 million or 63% of the overall budget. However, the National Treasurer report indicates that 882 million or 121.1% was transferred, which exceeds the stated amount by the department. Can the department explain this contradiction to us? And secondly, also on the other one, on the goods and services, that is slide number 4. Also, the department is saying that they have spent 72%, whereas the treasury report indicates that it's 55.2%. Can you please explain these contradictions to us? That they are saying 55.2% and they are saying 72%. Can you really clarify this one? Thank you. Although, lastly, one would like to congratulate the department despite the challenges that we have experienced, as the DG was explaining to us. You know, when you look at the audit performance, the financial performance of the department, you have been exemplary in getting unqualified but with funding. We want to check what is it that the department has put in place to try and get a clean audit, because I think you can get a clean audit the way you have been performing since 2010, 2011 to date, to 2014-15, because that's where we're looking at this, that you keep on getting unqualified. But also, lastly, in the issue of the irregular expenditure, you were really exemplary. There were no irregular, unauthorized, or fruitless expenditure that you were incurring as a department. But later on, in 2014-15, you will have seen that now you are having irregular. What is the cause of that one? What is the consequence for those that did not do the work? Because it's around the issue of the compliance of the Public Finance Management Act, and it's indicating that the DG or the accounting officer must prevent irregular expenditure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. And the next question is Honorable Member Matoki.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions based on what you've just presented to us. The Deputy Director General said the underspend was 5%, but the figures he gives us show the underspend was 7.5% on slides 3 and 4. That concerns me a bit, sir. You keep it up by 50%, depending on what's on your side of what you say. I don't need to go into that any further. You've got an 8% shortfall as a result of unfilled posts. That's in your fourth quarter report. When you carry it over to the first quarter expenditure report, we still have an underspend for the same reason. What is going on? Why do we not have some sort of change in the situation? This is over two different quarters. What plans have you got? What's happening with these unfilled posts? Is there a process underway? Are the posts about to be filled? If they are filled, are you going to be able to achieve your spend figure here? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So perhaps I just misunderstood. On slides 6 and 7, you indicate underspending is mainly due to the demand for innovative positions you addressed. The implementation of South Africa Tank Broadband Project. The implementation of the project was delayed as the department was exploring various options to implement the decision made by Cabinet the 4th in February 2015 to designate Telkom as the lead agency for broadband rollout. This is a decision that's made in February 2015. This is more than a year ago. It's a year and a half ago. How long does it take to use your words, explore various options to implement a decision? You take 18 months away and it's still not there. What's happening? How many more options are there to explore? Fully, you've made a decision and you must now execute the decision. I don't understand how we can have this long period where you're exploring options. It's not convincing. I'm not convinced by this explanation. Then you said the broadband project funds were diverted to be utilized as follows: 100 million to Centec and 50 million to Sarpel. Have these amounts been paid over to Centec and Sarpel? You say it's underspent here because they've been diverted somewhere else. But have they actually been paid over, or are they still sitting somewhere waiting to be paid? Because if that's the case, it shouldn't be an underspend. You've in fact just done a violent and spent them somewhere else, which wouldn't then reflect as an underspend. Maybe you could explain that to me, because from what I see on slide 5, where you say you paid to Centec 209 million, and you paid the SA price of 115 million, but there's a 50 and 100 over and above that, so they form part of it. So I mean, just an explanation there. I wasn't quite sure what you were telling us. Your first quarter report. You say that the underspend on the ICT international affairs is because of membership fees and so on that will be paid in the second quarter. When were those fees due? Are they yet due and haven't been paid? Are we now behind in our obligations and we're going to catch up later? Should they have been spent already? Can we just hear from you what the story is there, please? Policy research capacity development, we've only spent 19%. We're 6% shy. I'm not quite sure why that is. Just very terrible for giving me. I just need to find the I know there's a page of explanations here. Then this infrastructure support. This is blamed on the broadband rollout project. I think 0.6% spent. Surely your target, your guideline spend for a quarter is 25%. Now, I'm not sure when this project started, but it's been going for some time. This idea of the broadband rollout. It's not a new thing. What if you spend 0.6% on it? And what is the problem with the rest? When is this going to be spent? I can echo that the chairperson's words, are we going to be hearing the same thing in the second quarter and the third quarter and so on? What is the holdup? You know, your department is the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. first word there, telecommunications. It is of prime importance to keep people connected and communicate with each other. And a thing like this just sort of hangs around and hangs around. We don't seem to see progress. Now, there may be all sorts of good reasons for it, I understand that. But just to say, well, you only spent 0.6% of your budget in the third quarter. Sorry, was a delay. It doesn't quite address the situation. You know, it's a lot of money. You've got 171 million rand allocated to this. And people want to know what's happening with it. Why isn't it being spent? You spent 31% in the first quarter, which is now 6% more than you should have. You say the reason for that is because the 650 million rand you paid to, not quite sure who you paid it to. SOE oversight is part of this budget line. State-owned enterprises oversight. How much does that cost? The oversight of state-owned enterprises. I mean, state-owned enterprises should be operating. They should be at least self-funding to an extent. And yet we spend a huge amount of money overseeing their operation. And yes, most of this is ITC enterprises, but we're not doing this bit, so I'm not sure why it's the way it is. I put 615 million to the Central Post Office. What you said, I beg your pardon, I made note. Where was that paid from that? And why is the post office swallowing all this money? The post office itself is supposed to be self-generating. It charges money to send a post letter. You know, I've run a business for many years, and my business depended on the post office. My business nearly died as a result of the post office taking a dive and stopping performing its primary function, which is delivering post. I know we've changed into a modern age. We now have emails and internet and all the rest of it. But it's okay for me. I have some money. I can go and change my systems. I can get onto the internet. But the bulk of our people are poor. They still rely on the post. Because that's their mode of communication. You must know that. I know there's an address problem. There's some most post offices have a collection system at the post office because people don't have addresses. You go to the post office and you collect your post there. What went wrong? Something in the post office in this terrible trouble. We're borrowing 3.7 billion rand to bail out an organization that should be self-funded. What is the problem? You know, I read with... My mind boggles when I read the things about the post office. You know, my local post office, I know the post mistress really well. There have been many months where she has to take only part of her salary on payday because the list is not available at the time. She has to wait a few weeks to get the rest of her salary. She has to take her own toilet paper to work with her. She has to take her own tea and coffee. When she issues you with a receipt for a registered item, she can't give you one on a post office printed slip because the supplier hasn't been paid, so they won't give them any more of these things. And this is an indictment, you know. We should be proud of our post office in this country. It should be one of those national institutions that we can look at with pride. And I'm ashamed of our post office because it fails us dismally, and it fails the people in this country. And we don't get good answers. There's no good reason for it. Now we're borrowing hordes of money to pay it out. You say the crisis is over. I'm telling you, sir, the crisis is only just starting because we're going to have to pay that money back. And how are we going to do that if the post office is not generating any money? The banks won't wait forever to be bailed out. They haven't called in those guarantees that the state's given. Unless the post office is in such a state that it can't stop generating its own money and pay this money back. The CFO on slide 10, you didn't give us any information as to plans for capital assets and being 58% of the amount that's supposed to be spent. What is the problem there? What have we not paid or bought that we should have bought? Then there's transfers and subsidies on slide 11, 0% across the board. Once again, we should have done 25% by now. Is the money available? And if so, why haven't we transferred it? We're obviously causing a problem to somebody else because they were expecting that money and it hasn't arrived. But they won't be paying their creditors again because they don't have the money, and it's a knock-on effect right across our economy. We can't afford this kind of thing. As a country, we can't. Our economy can't afford it. And it doesn't do our international image any good. This is the sort of thing that these rating agencies come and look at. And we have no explanation. Oh, we'll do it in the second quarter. Not good enough. It's unacceptable. No explanations here. Goods and services. Variance is a result of the delay in implementation of projects. Why is there a delay? What is the cause of the delay? You don't explain these things. You just tell us there's a delay. So we know that. That's why the money can't be spent. But what is the delay? Target's not achieved. Acting Director General, I think you mentioned something about 31% achievement of targets at some stage. I wasn't quite sure. I didn't catch it today. Jennifer, don't write me down when I get 31%. I was like, and if you get 31% achieving your targets, you also have failed. It's not good enough. ABP targets not achieved in quarter one. You say no progress due to pending tender process finalization. When that process starts and when is it going to end? How long is this going to take? It's another one of those nice open-ended statements that doesn't tell us anything about how you're solving the problem. And it's the same in the second one. Because we both have a broadband connectivity implementation plan and also sort of connectivity to 675 identified sites. No progress due to pending tender process finalization. I'm not following this. Tender process is exactly that, a process that has a start and an end. You advertise the tenders, you get the tenders in, you have your tender meetings and you award the tender. What is the delay? What's stopping this thing from happening? When did it start? When will it finish? Please, it's very worrying. What I see here does nothing for my confidence. I see you've got Financial Misconduct Committee in the post office. The fact that you've got such a committee is alarming enough on its own, because it means there's a lot of financial misconduct going on, otherwise you wouldn't have to have such a committee. But what result is this committee showing? Is there any benefit to having? Have we produced any result? What's the outcome of this? I saw in some of the notes here that you spent about 7 million rand on SIU investigations that were unbudgeted or unfunded. Please give us an explanation. Why are you spending money on SIU investigations? Who are being investigated and with what outcome at the end? Are we going to get a result? Are you the department or post office or one of your entities going to get any result, anything back for this money that we spend? And we have to account for what we spend. It's not just a question of, well, we've got a budget, we must spend it. We have to spend it on something that we need, something that's going to give us value for the money we spend. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member Mayotin and Honourable Member.
No, thank you very much, Chair Captain. Let me try to welcome the report. Chair Captain and the head of the department saying there were guarantees to the post office of 2.5 billion. What are the conditions on this bailout? Where the repayment objective would be met given the current weather? The repayment objective will be met given the current status of the post office. Are the invoices paid within 30 days as Section 38 of the TFMA requires? And what measures are put in place to make sure that this is done accordingly? Has the department implemented measures and systems to prevent irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure, as well as wasteful and fruitless expenditure as required by the Section 38 of the TFMA? There is a contradiction between the report of the Treasury and the department, as Madova has indicated with goods and services. It indicated that 72% was spent, meanwhile the Treasury saying 55.2%. And on the CAPEX, the department reported that 100% of the budget was spent, but the National Treasury report shows that 108.3% was spent, which exceeds the report amount by the department. Really, the department needs to clarify this statement. Check this on quarter one, seeing that there is under expenditure on their budget, what impact does this under expenditure have in the achievement of the MGSF and the National Development Plan target? The department should explain the slow expenditure in the ICT infrastructure of the program 2, which has only spent 9% at the end of the first quarter. Has the department been able to finalize the integrated ICT strategy? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member Manana. Over to Honorable Member Dlamini.
Thank you, Chair, and my apologies for the very second. Let me just thank the department for the report. You know, Chair, when the report is something that immediately caught my eye was vacant position. And I can't believe that, you know, you still get departments on the daily post say to come and report to us vacant positions. And we have 8.4 million unemployed people out there in South Africa. And we still come, departments come and just report to us just like that. You know what the other expenditure is due to vacant positions. So, which means these departments are failing those, what, that 8.4 million people that are looking for jobs. Because there must be a mind shift to say, let's go out there daily. You find daily graduates standing on robots looking for jobs. Qualified individuals. And you still get departments understanding is due to vacant positions. Why are those positions not filled? It's mind-blowing. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. So my first question would be to the department, how many positions are vacant within the department that needs to be filled, and in which areas of your department are those positions vacant? Because I don't believe there are no qualified people for those positions. We see graduates on a daily basis that can fill these positions. There must be a mind shift in that regard. And then, how does this vacant position impact on your annual achievement or your annual performance target as a department? If you can please elaborate for me on that one, and why are we still seeing vacant positions in your department? Because I don't think there won't be an HR manager, or I don't think we don't have a qualified IT specialist. I don't think we don't have qualified individuals that can do teller, to be a teller at the postal service. So if you can just elaborate for me on that one. Then on your slide, I think it was page 14 or slide 14. One of your reasons is there is human resource capacity constraints. Yet again, what capacity in your human resource constraint? What capacity have you identified that you are lacking as a department, and how are you going to do it to address that constraint? Because for that one, or progress capacity challenge to be addressed in the new financial year, it doesn't hold too much water in your statement above. So how exactly are you going to address that human resource capacity? And my honourable colleague next to me has also asked about the tender process on page 15. You don't give us much clarity the starting and the end date. It's just in progress. In progress can mean it can be ending in 2020 or 2030. We want, by when is it starting, when is it going to end? Exactly, of the tender process, so that we know how to track it when you come back to present to us again and say to us, listen, you have said by that date you will be finished the process. So when you come again, if you say to us in progress, next time you come again, but actually we told you it's in progress. So we won't be able to track you on that in progress, one exact date, so that we can hold you accountable to those dates that, and targets that you have set in that regard. Then my colleagues have also alluded to the financial misconduct committee. Maintain regular reviews on monthly basis and reports to the board through the audit and risk committee. Yet, we have here on one of your reports by the National Treasury that you have overspent on your allocated budget on the SUI investigation of officials. So it will be interesting to see, does this committee, did they pick that up as well, and what work do they do, or does it fall in line so that, with that overspending or unbudgeted amount that was spent for investigating officials? Because you can't just spend money for the sake of spending it. You didn't write it for it, so you don't get to spend it. So let's just, I just want to find interest in the work of this financial misconduct committee. When was it established? Because if it was there, the state of the post office wouldn't have been in the state where it is for us to get bailouts from government. If this audit committee have done their work on this audit committee or whichever way you put it. So when was it established? What work does it do? Do they have any reports? And they can also maybe enlighten the committee with that report. I think you have the same, because my next question will be the measures that the department has implemented to prevent irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure, and wasteful and fruitful expenditure. So does this committee assist in that regard? So that one will tie in straight with that question, I think. I have covered everything. Chair, if I have a second bite, I will come back. Thank you.
Well, thank you for all your questions. With your permission, I would also like to add a few questions and clarification questions from the department. On your first quarter, what percentage of target out of the total plan for the first quarter? And what mitigating measures are in place, and what is your estimated performance forecast going forward for the current financial year? This is important as citizens wish to see value for money. Secondly, are your targets appropriate and are they actually achievable? In summary, are the targets of the department smart? Because you see, why we want to see target figures? We learn much about the target figures. Not so yet. So let's say figures and then the quantity in terms of your achievement. Well, on partnerships, to ask partnerships are critical and underpin government outcomes approach for radical socio-economic transformation. Given that the challenge is getting government, industry stakeholders, and citizens on board in the transition to digital and educating the public about its benefits, how are you entrenching partnerships in your work? And how are you educating the public on the benefits of migration? Well, for the internal audit unit, can you briefly comment on the status of internal controls over all major projects that the department is involved in,
and also briefly comment on efficiency and effectiveness of overall operation of the department. Well, we're not going to leave out the audit committee officer. Well, for the audit committee chairperson, what are those aspects of risk management and governance that are functioning effectively? And just as importantly, also those aspects, risk management and governance, require attention and they need to be improved and looked at. You may also comment on the effectiveness and accuracy of overall budgeting planning and spending projections. Well, given the NDP Vision 2030 that aims for a connected society, and noting that rural households with access to internet connection remains low in all provinces, particularly in the Eastern Cape, which is 0.77%, KwaZulu-Natal, which is 1%, and Limpopo, which is 1.03%. How can this easily turned around? How can we reduce the high domestic costs? The broadband internet connectivity, given that all South Africans should be able to acquire and use knowledge effectively. Honorable members, thanks once more for your questions. I will now hand over to the FCC.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kelsey. I would share the answers with the delegation which I'm making in the United States. There is someone who's independent of us here also who vouch around the question of the figures. And I'm not sure when do I allow it actually then to express the opinions with respect to in line with the chapters for the chapters in the back. And so that was his risk at the site and now within this risk and all of the other things. And from an outsider perspective, whether this is effective and whether it's not effective. Now, I will then start with the compensation side. The first question which was asked, speaking of provisions of the GPGs, the only positions. But just to preface my answer, we've got only four positions which are not filled now, as we're talking. Now, all other positions in the department are filled, except for four positions. And I would like them to also indicate the reasons why this four position is not filled. I'm the acting DG, so the process to appoint the DG is almost complete. The advertising has gone on and every other thing has been done. Then there are three other DGs. I think, one delayed due to the fact that they were taking the department to process challenging their dismantle, challenging the disciplinary activities which have taken place. So the department was going to be spending more if it were going to rush into filling those posts once those processes were still taking place. So the decision was taken that we needed actually to hold on to that until those processes were back here. There is another reason also too, with respect to the filling of that post. I think you will recall that we were the Department of Communication. And the mandate to do telecommunications and product services and do the change of it to create another department of communication. I think we are undergoing a process of it then to redefine our organization, redefine the structure, align it to the mandate. A process also which I think the DDG of administration and governance is going to talk to. So we are finalizing the process, we are really working very hard on this to do it. This has got implications in the sense that the DDGs which we will hire as we're going forward, which so we have now to be aligned with the new mandate of the department, the new organization, which actually is required then for business mandate. It's not those who were in the past. So the delay is not just an inability to find people. It's a delay which is structural, which is also strategic, which is actually trying to align. Then the new mandate of the department, the changing of the organization, and the possible look if you want to change the organization, within the public service. The public sector has to be involved, and everyone has to be involved. So it's a very lengthy process. So we're undergoing those processes as well for us to finalize the new structure. But overall, there are no other posts which are not filled. We filled all posts. We are less than this, actually. We have been done to take the organization actually to go forward. Well, they are the only positions at the time when they reported, which were not filled. The quarter four and the end of the financial year, yes, the weather was. We filled about 22 posts in quarter three. The process started in quarter two to advertise for them. We had to then interview those people within a very short space of time, within a quarter. And a typical effort, we go out for about 2 months. And then we start then to shortlist, and then we interview, and then we go all of the process. To do it in 2 quarters, I think, we thought it was something actually just good, it's actually achieved. So, I would like to reiterate again, all posts have been filled, except to this one, which are strategic, which have done to actually be aligned and to take the foundation forward. The issue of digital migration.
Not
yet. With respect to two, they are finalized. One is in actually the internal of telling us that processes are still undergoing with respect to one. But the other two, they were then finalized, I think, in the last quarter of this year. With respect to digital migration, there's no progress in the issuing of the facilities. And the day in terms of releasing the spectrum. I think yesterday, first I want to indicate that this was the project of the Department of Communication. When we went over to the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services, this project then went over to the Department of Communication. We are not the people who are driving this project. We were agencies which are acting to support the project and the background which is there. So it is not only within us to actually take all the decisions which need to be taken. But yesterday they reported also to a joint standing committee together with us with respect to this matter. And we would like actually, most probably at some other time, to have that joint committee actually coming to the report to about the progress which has been achieved around digital migration. But in essence, the fundamental problem with respect to it is that this is a problem which is lacking resources. I think we need to put more money into it in order for us actually to move fast. There is a question of awareness also, of people having to be aware, because most of these set-top boxes which we are talking about, the resources, they take the form of the units and the cultures which have to be actually identified by people. Now, there is a criteria who gets it. It's not all for us, and I think about 5 million money. It amounts to vocational practitioner. Now, there's a criteria that you have to satisfy a certain criteria around the question of how much you're earning. So you have to register, you have to be vetted, you have to. So if they are delayed, then they are delayed as well with respect to that issue. Now, the subject concerns where they affected. Sandvik finished the rollout of the infrastructure for time. And I think about 88% of the country now can receive digital broadcasting. The other 12% can receive it through satellite translation. Now, unfortunately for Sandvik, it has run a business in between two ends, the old one and the new one. It has got two infrastructure which it is running, doing exactly the same thing. The new one is doing more. But the last one is the television transmission network which it used to manage and to control in the past. But then they started then this new one. And this new one has also caught money to run. So we are then actually assisting Sandvik with respect to that. And the trackers are pregnant too. I actually helping Sandvik to run the second network, the digital network, which is new. There will be a time in the future when all South Africans are able to receive the digital broadcast that the old network will be switched off. But we are not yet at that stage. And I think the Department of Communication indicated yesterday that it is only when about 80% of South Africans can receive this new digital broadcast and which we're going to switch off the last method, which is the analog network, which was created over time before. But the two networks are running parallel, they are running next to each other until then we can affect this migration people from receiving old TV's signals into the new TV signal. So that is what the transfer is there about. Yeah, they were transferred. This is what we're transferred to standard and something is already together. Now, the litigants issue and appointment. We took some time with respect to this because we had to find each other with person with respect to and how to do it. And I think there's a lot of discussion that took place in the matter. But ultimately, it was a tender which was issued in the course of the first quarter of this year. And the tender closed about, I think it closed about 2 months ago. And then by the end of first week of October, then the results are going to be known. And this is the period of adjudication now, which I think is around the question of this program. And I think the project is just delayed for so much. And so we've gone out to tender, and it is going to be catered. Now, in the course of them going out to tender, we have them to deal with the question of the role of CETA, the CETA Information Agency, and they're the ones now who are undertaking this project. So it will be done, and I think they will actually give us the results. Most probably first week of October, and later. Now, 100% transfer of budget, and there's some treasury indicating that you have 21%. I'll ask the CFO to return to the question.
Okay, thank you, Chair. With regards to the differences with with the report from treasury, the report that we have and what we have drawn these reports from, it's the, because these results are audited already. The Auditor General have given us, they have looked at the report and we have the annual report that's at the printing stage, which also agrees to the figures that we have presented here. So I'm not sure, maybe Treasury has got their own report, but then these are the reports that were sent to Treasury and also reported as such and also agreed to by the Auditor General on the fourth quarter.
And Chair, if you add to that, the difference might arise as a result of the initial allocation versus the adjusted allocation. The adjusted allocation came, as the CEO has mentioned, when the additional money was transferred to SACO. So the presentation fees would be the one Treasury is looking to. This is the initial allocation versus the adjusted allocation. That is the final budget. That is where the differences are. However, the weighted figures are final ones and the ones that we use. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The question services again, 72% national treasury and ourselves were reporting 55.2%. We took the same information. How was the auditor? I think we will actually have to, most probably, talk to treasurers to the process of the figures of services that was. But these are auditor the figures which we're talking to now.
Well, if I may just quickly come in there and provide some explanation. Because we wanted to get this information before calling all of you in, but also it's in terms of the law that they have to submit the quarterly report. I think their report, the source of their report is the report that was submitted to National Treasury. But when they presented to us, remember Mr. McLaughlin, they did say that this is a preliminary report. So now they're giving us a quarterly dated report and also a report from the. So I think the explanation is accepted. So you don't have to take it up with them. We give a different explanation and the details clean enough. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Now I would like to ask the general audit president to talk about what the measures which we are doing to get the second audit. And we hope in the course of this year that we will get the second audit. We are very happy to have this respect. We have met all the areas which are problematic as far as not having the clean water. But I would like to.
Thank you, Chief. So what we did now, we have developed what we call a finding system, where we have completed all the findings raised by the AG and the findings raised by the Canal Authority. So we don't wait to for the action date. Normally, the weekly members would have a meeting with the ODTs to get the progress in terms of implementation of the action plan. And the latest findings raised is presented to the whole committee and the relevant process within this party.
We do believe that it is possible to have a very, very clean audit. We are waiting very hard to get this clean audit. But what we can promise is that we are not going to sleep in compact with respect to the performance of the department and so on. So we are going forward, which is okay.
You know that the internal
auditor
has not responded on the internal control with respect to major projects.
Yeah, on the internal controls, what we do, we assess the control environment in the customers. We have the unsatisfactory, which indicates that obvious that the result is that there is insufficient reliance on the system of internal control to mitigate risk. We have advanced improvement, which indicates that there is a limited reliance on the system of internal control and to mitigate the risk. And we have unsatisfactory, which indicates that in terms of the control that we have in place, they are adequately effective. So in terms of the audit that we have conducted, we have indicated to management that they need to invest in the internal controls to make sure that they address all the findings that have been raised and so forth. So based on my comments on the internal control, I would say that they require improvement. So we have applied management to make sure that we invest in the internal control so that we can get a new audit.
I think I've addressed the issue of the variance in terms of 5%, 7% in terms of the trigger in our firms, 8% and post, does it then contain? I've indicated that no, we feel our post. We left it on the strategic post, which has now helped us to realign the organization as well. Our post has it, which is going to where we are now. As a connect, the problem starts a year and a half ago. These are allocated the money to us, which is practiced, but there was also a cabinet decision as to what we needed to do. Now, the implementation of that took some time. In the first, because we had to find the most appropriate way of presenting it. In the case that we had them to log in the state information and technology agency's data, then lead the project with respect to seeking proposals from would-be service providers. We went out on the tender, is actually closed now, and we're in the process of them actually then finalizing the tender. Now, before the tender to go out here to, that would be the question of discussing our requirements, our needs, and scoping the needs, discussing with the departments which were affected. And in part of the departments are affected, so to indicate the breadth of this process, we are trying to connect all government offices, all of them. So I think we have to deal then now with all of the people actually around government offices in the various aspects of something. So we have to then, after finishing the period of the go ahead, to also, not only the first part of the budget to deal with it, but also then do the second part of how we connect the entirety of the country, which is quite safe. So all of that has to be done, and we did it, so that this one, we knew that the project actually could be funded and it was viable. Good part before, we knew that it was funded and it could be viable. So we've done all of that, and now we're at a stage now where we're just waiting actually to tell us something in terms of the settlement process of what is going to be coming up. And as I've indicated, the second week of, first week of October, we're actually waiting to hear who among the people will be would actually then be capable of fulfilling what they wanted to do. Taking a lot of time, we really sincerely apologize ourselves for the practice trade. And I think the project is sort of one of the biggest projects this government has been involved in, will be involved in a long time. It's difficult, and we're learning also as we're implementing it, actually, the nature and of the challenges which we need to solve as we're going forward. Now, Sandhya can start for. Are they quite ever going to be self-sufficient? And what's the problem of Sarpo? Why did Sarpo go into the problem in 2010? There are a number of reasons why Sarpo went into, but chief amongst these reasons, it was a top 50 to the post office, which has been going on for quite some time, which was cut around 2012. Because the post office then reported that over time it has actually achieved self-sufficiency and it has declared profits. And in discussions between the department and Treasury, then the decision was taken that it no longer needed to be subject. But not all offices of the post office are viable. It is a cross-subsidization model which depends on those who are viable cross-subsidizing, those who are not viable. Economic downturn don't happen, the post office does not actually get enough cash out of the operation controls, and then those offices still have to run those actually well subsidized by the money that's coming out of the operational efficient units of the post office. Now, the reduction of, like I think we indicate that it's about 600 million subsidy which the post office now is today. Now, if we just count back that from 2015 to 2012, it means that the government has taken on the cost of this about 1.8 billion in the form of the subsidy which was put back. So part of the figures which we're talking about now needing to actually to be closed relates to the subsidy. It has a subsidy. The post offices were not closed in rural areas. The post office carried in its own financial its cost of delivering services to people that are or to places which could not sustain the post office mission. Now that subsidy now is back. That is why in the first quarter of this year, the first thing which we had to do was to ensure that we don't necessarily give the post office the allocation. Usually we draw down the allocation over a period of time. But because of the nature and the problem and the crisis in the post office, we actually then pay them at the beginning of the year rather than to draw it down over a period of time. So the subsidy was actually reinitiated and actually we paid the money to the post office. We do understand that the post office is privatized. Interestingly, in the discussions which we had as we were reviewing the ICT policies of the country, there was even people or someone was suggesting that actually there is no role for the post office coming forward. That actually we no longer do all of the things which we do. Almost like if you have lived in the past and you are now transiting into the future, you would think that the post office only what it does to do it. It does more than that. It's a lot of business, but it's an enabler of economic inclusion for a variety of people. So I think we do understand the centrality of it. But what we have done to the post office is to give guarantees, to raise money, even afford it, to have a robust financial approach to its business. The 3.4 billion rand is not a subsidy to the post office. The post office has used the guarantee in order for it to go to the market and talk to banks in order to be given the money, to borrow the money in order for it to function. Now, of necessity for the conditions which are attached to it is that the post office is viable, that the post office can repay the money, that the business plan is robust, that the business plan actually can be tested, it can withstand it fast. It can actually be something where the people who are lending the post office money can get their money back. Now the turnaround, sort of then around this issue of producing a business plan, a business case for the post office, which runs without the post office actually getting a bailout from government. So the banks have gone through it, and all major banks, the syndicate has the loan to the post office, and all South African banks, which are major banks, have gone through the business plan of the post office. They all, through their committees, have actually also shown confidence that actually to the business plan which is viable, it is a business plan actually which can pay its time. Now, that's the condition which was about to say, that post office should be financially viable to carry out its money. And the banks and our banks, Treasury and everyone else, think that actually it has budgeted that proposal in front of us. And that's why the money was actually given to them. So the condition is that they have to be back. The condition is that they have to pay back the funds that they borrowed quarter. We expect the product this to post profits by the year 2018. Consolidated that they are now in a financial environment where they are held, they can actually look up at them. Now, I would like then the CFO to talk about the first quarter report. Now, this issue of why we represent 0% when it comes to international organizations, are we just skipping on pay so that this money is offered to you and
Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes.
The international membership fee, the practice has been that they will issue us with the invoices as from the second quarter. So for the second quarter, we have received those invoices from the international membership fee. Some have been paid, some are still under process. But the practice has been that they get paid in the second quarter, and that's how, that we budget for them in the second
course.
Thank you.
Now, around the question of the 6% more, I think I did speak to the question that we had to give the post office their share in order to balance their books and enable them to do the things we actually needed to do. Exactly like, I think also I need to indicate that we're very, very grateful to people who work in the post office, understanding conditions. They extended themselves beyond the call of duty. They worked very hard to maintain the organization. They sacrificed. They did every other thing for which, under no circumstances, the current employee are not asked to do. We do believe that the post office is going to dedicate us. We are going to be in a position actually to change the situation in the post office. We needed to provide leadership. We needed to put in place systems. We needed to put in place financial support measures in order for it really to go forward. But as it is now, the process has got everything which are ingredients of the turnaround strategy, and it's all agreed and approved by everyone that is an indicator. I think they are in a position to tell the big stuff which is part of that. There are other challenges with respect to them going into the future. It's a question of them having to position themselves. I indicated that they need to change the market where they are. 50% of their revenues are coming out of me. In a world where MAID is actually decreasing. I've indicated that the whole country is moving towards different kind of projects. We want to support for Africans to interact with government on a 24/7 basis through electronic means. So they have to find themselves somehow also playing a role with respect to this. And those are now issues which are challenges which they have to, the leadership which has been put in the post office, which needs now to actually change the organization so that the organization can face with respect to it. There is a healthy future, one can actually execute the turnaround to its competitor. But it's a challenge until it is done. It's not something which we can say actually has successfully done at this moment. So it's a challenge, this is work in progress, this is where we're working with that. Now, then the issue of food and services, the delays. I will ask again the team actually to talk about the delays around the issue of food and services. That's all.
Slide number 10. On the goods and services, the spending there is 8%. And we have indicated that it is due to the broadband project, which is not moving because the bulk of the money is sitting on a goods and services for the broadband. But the
TG
will elaborate more
in terms of the delay than others. I have tried to elaborate on it that it was run out to China, and the tender is being adjudicated now as we're talking. So there will be penalties with respect to the project, and we're going to get them the tender response around when we're going to be starting the next one to roll out this thing. Now, Financial Misconduct Committee, this is the board committee of the South African Post Office. So it's not something where we employ people to serious misconduct in the organization, but it's still about sorry, and fatal misconduct. Now, I think, honorable members, there is an IU report. I think the president issued the proclamation that the affairs of the post office should be investigated, going way back to about the year 2000. As they selected Safat, because there was no understanding at that time as to what had caused this sudden flood in the postal affairs and the finances of the post office. So the response of the board is that actually that is to create this committee. This committee works with their risk and audit committee so that they can actually track and trace whatever is happening within the post office. It is not employees, it is just about committee like all other committees of the board. Now the SIU. The SIU was also then asked to investigate the department. There were three proclamations, but it was just focused on the department itself and the activities which the department had got itself into. It related to general affairs of the department, related to tenders, which actually were issued by the department, and I think one of about the awareness of the GTT project. Stay longer for the SIU to finalize this and not envisage. And that's why we've got this 7 million rand overspend to buy the trade. But all of those investigations also are now over. The reports have been actually given to the president. We are awaiting them. But not, they are not, we are not the recipients, but we are the investigators in this instance. So we will then actually wait until then we are given the reports and then the reports will come to us. But as the proclamation is actually we are the ones that are going to carry the cost and the burden of the investigation. So the 7 million is actually around the question of the delay, the longer it took for them actually to do the investigation. What are the outcomes? We are not in a position to talk about outcomes at the moment. I can't see that the report actually is given to us so that we would understand what actually the outcomes are and where we would need them to change people who have done wrong. Chased money actually has been inappropriately spent. And I think that already with the post office, the whole issue of the lease of the headquarters of the post office is one matter where we're in court now to actually try to cancel the lease and to return back the money. It was an SIU investigation, came to the conclusion that that actually was not done, that was done properly. And we're in the process now trying to return the money with respect to it. So where there is wrongdoing, where there is misconduct, now the FIU also is not is the independent party which makes recommendations, but the FIU itself can initiate them, both the civil and the criminal cases with respect to those why not. So do we expect to get something out of this? We hope that we get something out of it. But we will wait until the FIU report is tabled so that we'll be in a position to engage with respect to that part. Now, I've spoken about the question of the guarantees, the post office, and the conditions. The conditions is that the business case of the post office is viable, that it can repay the money, that it is not a loan to the post office. It is actually a measure which enables them to go to financial markets, get the money out of financial markets. The financial markets themselves will be satisfied that actually the money can actually be repaid. Now, the system is to prevent unauthorized expenditure. I think
with regards to system to prevent the tech, those irregularities and non-efficacies, so there are policies, departmental policies in place that are applicable regularly on how we operate. For example, how the tender processes work, we have charters in place. And then we also issue the text that like a procurement is aligned. We don't have a scenario where people go out on their own without a procuring outside SEM. And then where tenders have to be issued, there are also committees that go through that to ensure that all is above board.
Just to add something with respect to this,
just like which we have drawn from the Parliament, relates to the question of our use of consultants. And, we are actually drastically cutting down and relying on people outside of our organization to do the reform. So if you see underspending around the areas of policy, it's because we have enforced policy. So we're also developing this capacity to do things which normally in the past we have asked others outside the country to come in and consult the country and pass to anything. So there is a slight delay in respect to some of the things which we are doing due to that thing as long as because we have to utilize the resources which we have to do things which are way in the past we used to have resources from outside Australia to come help us to do things. Now the question of the quarter one under expenditure and the impact on the achievement of the MTFF and the NDP. In quarter one, we have now some results which we have already formulated, and I'm not sure who's going to tell you where we are in terms of quarter one achievement of the results. I'm going to ask my colleagues and hopefully to tell you something. Quarter one is different. Where we are now is our turnaround for sustainable. Are we already started doing the things which we started like doing the policy? Now we are around 69% in terms of achieving all of the. Now these are achieved targets. I think the targets which we didn't achieve in quarter one, they relate to about 8%. Others were work in progress which we have since analyzed. So in quarter two, we will then record the quarter one, which I think we did achieve about 80% and above with respect to the targets which we set for ourselves. Now, this quarter one and expenditure, I think some of them did not have financial indications. There were things which needed to be done, there were things which were in progress, and I think part of what we I'll then deal with the question of this integrated ICT strategy and policy, whether we can actually finalize it. We did submit to Cabinet on the 2nd of March this year a new policy for the ICTs. We reviewed the entirety of the ICTs, we reviewed the postal sector, we reviewed the telecommunication sector, we reviewed the internet sector, we looked at all the white papers which were there. All legislation which was there, we then proposed a new ICT policy, which is regulated for the country. Now that has been implemented since the 2nd of March, and Cabinet directed us then to work with other government departments, and there were key departments which we needed to work with. Economic Development is one of those departments. Then it was also the question of the Competition Commission. And then there was a question of us having to learn to discuss with National Treasury. There was a question of us finding each other with the Department of Communication around a convergence or the interaction between the two departments and the two sectors as well going forward. Then we have to deal with the question of how to regulate this new policy proposal for trade which were putting place. Now, I can say that we're at the tail end of the process. We're back in Cabinet. Now, after having consulted with the non-government departments, so we are hoping that quite soon, most probably before the end of this month, that Cabinet is going to then consider the proposals which we have made to the different government departments to actually then pronounce on this integrated national ICT policy, how the country is going to be taken forward, which is quite straight. So we are looking at, we've actually done this. But it's taken longer than we thought, because the proposal has been finalized in the last quarter of 2015 financial year. But this has been finalized now. Now, vacant positions again, and I've indicated that vacant positions are no longer there. Those which are there to relate to the question of the teachers whom we have to appoint. The process of appointing the teachers is almost finalized, and it's all five in the coming process of such as that, as I've indicated. HR constraints. I will ask the two people on the meeting to deal them in the question of which are concerns for our
country. Thank you so much, DG. Thank you, Chair. But maybe let me start with the issue of the position, DG, with your permission also. to say that all the positions that we have, that we say are vacant, are the positions are funded. And the progress that we have made so far is that, like DG has said, the post of the DG very soon will be having a general, but also those three positions. But I must also mention that we have two other critical positions that were funded, and the people left the organization, and we are unable to fill those because National Treasury say those two positions are now unfunded. It is the position of the Chief Audit Executive, which will be on your hands. We have an acting person, the person that left this year, and also the head of IT. We are in consultation and in talks with National Treasury to deal with that particular matter, and so that we can see it to its conclusion. And on the issue of the structure of the department, DG touched on that one, that what was the other issue that was delaying us. We may all know that we were Department of Communications, and now we are split into communications and also into the DPS, and we are the DPS. So we had to, by law, DPSA, we had to have our own structure, which is the process that we are currently dealing with. And I'm happy to report that we have done all the normal processes. Firstly, you must submit your SDM, which is the service delivery model, to deal with the issues of the mandate, so that whoever that you appoint, even all those DGs that DG spoke about, they were still DGs under the old regime, which was the DOC. But for us to be able to advertise accordingly and have DGs that will be able to appoint for the new department, which is DCPS, and also attending to the issue of the mandate of this particular department, that is the process that we'll be able to report on as to how far we are with the structure and submit to the DPSA accordingly. And it will also address the issue of the human resource constraints for the department, and also because as we present here, we're not only presenting for DCPS as a department internal, but we're also talking about the SOC. But if you look at the report where this question emanated from, is the issue of the some of the project. And I can also give one example that we are faced with. The issue of broadband, which is a very, very serious and critical issue. We had advertised for Chief Director Broadband. We interviewed, and it's one of the positions that now we are told by National Treasury is no more funded. But like I have said, there is no fight between us and National Treasury yet, because I know that the CFO and HR is going to National Treasury to sort out those three positions, which is the Chief Director, Internal Audit, Yoshito, and the issue of the broadband, so that we can be able to finalize all the positions. Filling our structure, those are the only positions that we're talking about.
There's been a process, the first and the end date. The tender was issued in June. It closed in August. Then the adjudication is taking place now. First week of October, we are awaiting the results of the tender. So the government has measured the contaminants of containers. Now, the issue of financial misconduct committee address the issue of the financial misconduct committee. This is a good committee. It does help us actually track and trace. It is part of the risk committee. It's one of the measures that actually try to help the possible fees to get out of the LDU and to actually monitor in real time the conduct of the officials and employees of the post office. Now, the measure to deal with irregular expenditure. Yes, we are dealing with irregular expenditure, and we would like to get a clean audit, and we would actually want to promise the committee that probably the number of areas which are problematic relates to issues which we can easily deal with and which we need to deal with, but they are recurring because of, I think, the organization in the past that not dealt with them, so now we're dealing with that, which is quite true. We put a charter, as we indicated, of areas actually where over 3 years we have been actually told that this is where we are not performing. Let me just indicate the areas. One of those areas is around the question of performance management. That we've got performance agreements with every employee, and we can monitor effectively actually and ensure that the performance agreement is actually effective. So we are attending to that. This year, most probably, we've got everyone actually authorized in the performance agreement. there is a question of the leave forms that are not kept at the time. So we're dealing with that also. There is questions of irregular expense, which dates back 3 years before, which we're also handling too. We need to then get the organization to address all of these issues. And we are working with respect to addressing all of these issues. Now, Chair, you spoke about the first quarter report and the target that you planned and what was achieved. What is the forecast of this year and the target marks and the figures that you shall attend? Let me just share with you that I think as was indicated, in the course of this year, we had in the first quarter 23 targets. Those which were completely and fully achieved were 15 out of the 23. The targets which were partially achieved, and most of them, or all of them, have since been achieved, were only 6, and there were only 2 targets which were not achieved in the first quarter. So we recorded 65% if we include then those which were actually partially achieved, and which now actually have been achieved in full. So we do believe that this performance is consistent with the performance of the last quarter of 2015 financial year, in the sense that we recorded 69% in the last quarter of last year. Now, the first quarter, we came back at about 65%. We have actually achieved then the 6, which were the ones that we have not achieved because of the approvals which were not given on time, which is quite fair. But this is our forecast for the year. We have set ourselves a target of about 80% for this year. And we would like to enhance then an 80% success rate as a standard for the department going forward. We think we're on course to it, and there is no reason why we would not actually achieve this. And, part of why we didn't achieve high enough here was because of this integrated national policy, which was committed to cabinet, but cabinet could not actually have dealt with it in March and concluded it. They asked us to do further exploration, further discussion with us. If we had achieved that, we would have been a part of 20% in the course of last year. So we are then this year in executing our task, we're sitting at about 25% of fully achieved. We've got about 6 targets which were partially achieved and which still have been achieved also. So that takes us to we're near the target actually, which we are about 80% at the end of the year. That's our projection. We'd like to achieve 80% at the end of this year. If we can't, as we would be working very hard to achieve this 80%.
Now,
that means the certificate or looking at it. That was just to say, being positive that they will achieve it, they can do it. Yeah?
I agree. If my senior management can agree with you on the I will commit this to them. It's not an option. It needs to get them.
Now, the question of the audit committee is risk management. That's our risk management function. We have four. And the chair that we have.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, that in the members and the Director General. I have three questions to respond to. The first one is aspects of risk management of governance that are functioning effectively. The second one is what aspects of risk management and governance need to implement. And the third one is the effectiveness and accuracy of overall budgeting process and expenditure management. I would like to start with the last one. So, President and members, if you have been listening attentively and you have analyzed all of the documents, the whole problem around under expenditure in the department in our own analysis as the whole committee is occasioned by Apache management processes. Firstly, if the department can re-engineer their Apache management processes and policies to be able to speedily award the tenders, then it will we looked at the reasons why the data is being issued. In the majority of the cases, there is no, at one stage or the other, there is no committee responsible for the FPM adjudication processes. Those committees are now in the institution code. But the problem remains. It then means we need to relook at our processes. There are many systems. We either have a 3-year cycle of putting prospective service providers on a database, and then when we acquire the services, we engage them. I mean, this kind of approach is accepted in our experiments. If we can resolve that problem, I think we will be able to spend the money spent. The second one is around budget management and monetary. Now, you find that an amount is budgeted in a particular program, and that amount is not spent. Now, that tells you something, that on a monthly basis, we are not managing this process, and it is not monitoring to be able to move swiftly to address and that expenditure. So a budget committee that we meet on a monthly basis and which looks at expenditure against projected spending is a very critical function that we need to look at. But also what is also important is, I don't know how to call it, it's quite a very simple. I don't understand the delays in transferring. Delays are in transfer. If you do the transfer game, you do 0000. That's an easy process. It's an easy process to transfer to you. So if you let them do their work, give them the money. Yeah, we are a conduit to do the money. Now there are two possible answers. Either they have a cash flow problem. If you have a cash flow problem, you can't transfer. Bear in mind, you draw basis. But if what you have drawn has been consumed by other operational expenditure, then you have a problem in cash transfer because then you don't have sufficient money to transfer. So this is what I call part of budget management and monitoring, so that we also manage our cash flow in such a way that some money we need to transfer. But then if we realize that problem A, B, C will not be able to spend, then we have cash transfer. Those who need the money, unlike the situation where there's absolutely nothing in the institutions. So fundamentally, the challenges are around SCM and they're around budget management and monitoring. If you have those three issues, I'm sure that you will agree with me. There will be a huge improvement in those areas. Now, let me turn to risk management and governance. I must congratulate the acting PG and the new senior management team. There's been a very great improvement in terms of the overall management, particularly in the areas of performance achievement. It may look bad when the committee looks at it now, because we're looking at huge under expenditure in many of the branches, and we're also looking at performance target. But where they come from, it was more than this. Now the ABBG has managed to get everybody around to be able to focus on the performance of the institution. And I would be congratulating to get 65% overall achievement for the department in quarter one is a huge achievement, because during quarter one you're also dealing with the year and the processes of the AG. So your attention is spread all over. The AG keeps on quickly documents the whole process is running. So you've done pretty well. And I said to them, I hope this will come to 80%. But also, you must also congratulate them in another area. If you look at the AG report for the year and the 31st March 2016, they were very close. Very close to the team audit, except
said that we would like, as a committee, we would like to see a clean audit, because they can focus on specific things. It should be interesting. This department where, I'm not sure, but a large chunk of their budget is cashier payments. Very little remains for them to manage, and it shouldn't have the regulation, let me call it non-authorized legislation, which really denies the human. The thing, an unqualified audit with non-compliance issues gives you an audit which is not clean. For it to be clean, it has to be unqualified with no non-compliance issues around SPM, expenditure management, all of this. So there is a good opportunity. The team stays focused and they listen to the community. It's very important to listen to us, because we have to supervise management. Now, in terms of risk management, let me start with governance. All the governance components that are required to be in place are there in the institution. There's a community, the risk management community, you've got various management committees, a number of them at different levels. You have the ICT steering committee, and they are functioning relatively well. We are comfortable with the way they function. So they are not issues in terms of governance structures within the organization and how they function. Coming to risk management, yes, the risk management committee is effective. It reports to the audit committee to provide oversight over risk. And all the required registers are in place. We have a strategic risk register, we've got an operational risk register, the branches have identified as specific risks. The mitigation plans are in place, and there's quarterly reporting taking place in the committee. So on an annual basis, I know very soon we will be meeting with them to do an annual review and update the registers. So basically when it comes to that, it's running very, very well. The areas where I think we need to do a bit of improvement is the following. As I said, they link to the budget, around the budget. Budget committee on a monthly basis, looking for energy management of the budget, looking at the budget. And also, we need your capacity in finance to work with the branch heads, the DGs, in terms of understanding the management of their budget and understanding the importance of spending in time. And why I'm saying we need that capacity to find it, because it also leads to SDM processes and advice on the management of risk budget so that the situation can improve. A lot of these are specialists in the ICT environment, that's completely spent budgeting and price management of budget and those things. It's the least of their concern, even to focus on these policies and driving the ICT governance or the ICT policies of government. Now, the last one, which really we have tried a lot of policy to press upon management, and it's not coming very well, and I hope in the next quarter we'll see it coming out very well. It's integrating financial and non-financial performance. If these two can be integrated, then management on its own will be able to see unexpected areas as well as underperforming areas and be able to do an analysis of the two on their own and manage the situation before it comes to us. The second area needs to be improved is consequence management. I know that this was the first department that implements consequence management previously. And we need to see more of the payment. We need to see more of the payment so that people take their responsibility seriously. And the last one, the very last one that we raised in our last meeting is adherence to the performance information policy and other operations. You know, the policy is very clear. You submit your performance report on a particular day, you discuss the management personnel, the council, the community, and you just put in the support performance. There are processes that need to be followed.
in that specific quarter. So that we don't carry it over and forget it, because when my family hasn't performed, and you leave it, they think it's the norm. The culture, there's no problem. I can go on and go on and go on, and at the end of the year when you tell them you can't get their bonus, you get very angry. Because you have not said anything throughout the quarter. So these are some of the areas that I think are soft areas that I know the PPPG and the team will work, work on the situation. But the situation has improved. I will not commend my fellow members.
Thank you so much. I'm sure the honorable members like me have given hope. Actually, everything lies in that committee. That committee is done this way. That's why we call it an internal body. They do their work. One office that maybe we did not mention it, the monitoring and evaluation unit. All the units work together. Have you heard of this expression? If we're working together, we can do more. These offices can work together. Work not in competition, in collaboration with one another. Can even get together and come up with a collaboration strategy. Then keep checking with each other. Where are you? What do you think about this? No, we can do that. I promise you. We'll be able to engage fast. It's in government. And the people, because we are here for the people. Except for us, we are representatives of the people, we are what? Public representatives. So we're here to do that work. We will see it. There's no need for us to compete or fight, but if we put our heads together, we want to actually make the impact. Unfortunately, the impact is expected from the accounting officer, because remember the time when we shifted from output-based to outcome-based. This is where we are. Put emphasis on the outcome and ready for money. If you can balance the two, I promise you, I see this government rising to new heights. For now, there's a lull. They want to take you out of it. And just to caution you, okay, please your conscience again about the people first. So that the people, not the government, understand it. No, that's a story that's not necessary. I want to hear for the impact and the people benefiting. Not, then you must tell yourself you're not, you're busy. Hey, Lord, just come and go on to your mask, you know, just rise above and say, this is not that, then you're failing. And not, we're not only, you're not only failing, you're failing government, you're failing the people. So we want you to get out of your comfort zones. You've been there. For a long time, but you have the experience. Now rise up and please take this coming to new heights. Honourable members, questions from the honourable members. The questions are about follow-up questions. Thank you very much. I know some of you want to go. I don't want you to leave me alone here. Continue working as a team. No further. Please come in, please.
We have heard the response to the following questions, Chair, and at some point I was saying to my colleague next to me, but like the moral is so down, like the way they are preventing, like doesn't catch hope for us, unfortunately, like the moral was a bit down, but through our hearing, like when they were continuing, he was picking up about, I don't know whether it's Friday and Cape Town is cold, or I don't know what is the problem. But yeah, for me, I just like to hear one or two issues on the supply chain process, because that was one of the issues and the areas the internal committee has picked up on, and the processes thereof. Are you using the e-trader system, the chief procurement office system? Well, what processes are your department using to speed up this tender or supply chain problems that the internal committee has picked up? And then I'm just also interested to know on the financial misconduct committee, how many members are they? And then yet again, I think it just become a norm for us to also ask the qualifications of the internal committee, so that we know which capacity does these individuals hold to, in order to steer the department forward and help them. Because our role, we want to help you and want to follow the money by the end of the day, and we are public representatives. And the states in or post offices in the rural area, for our well, our constituency offices are based. It's, you understand, we want to develop that and want to see a positive, people must think positive about the post office and this entity. So we want to show, when we go back to these constituencies, that people have a positive view about our post office. I can recall at one stage, I think it was last year, my mom called me and she said, you know what, I saved 1,000 rand, and when I went in one to get my 1,000 rand, these people only can give me 800. You know, I went my other 100. I should have just went and saved at the bank. You know, they took all 200 over 800 of the 1,000 rand. So in this aspect, we need to change and the attitude of our communities to in terms of how they see the post office. And we need to follow up on this department's chair, this department specifically. Chair, we should be one of the departments we should really lay our eye on and go and practice oversight at this department to help them. Because it's not, they can't do it alone. They need also our help, because as we mentioned here earlier on, there are positions in key positions that are held up by National Treasury. So when it has us as a committee, needs to emphasize when we report that and say we ask, we are recommending that these posts should be funded again so that they can be helped to turn the entity around. For me, I'm very jealous of our entities. I want them to succeed. Our state entities, I want them to succeed. I want them to turn into a positive life. Our people shouldn't have a low moral compass when they're talking about these entities. Thank you.
What is the spirit? We want them to keep the momentum of not maintaining it, take it to your higher altitude. That was a new height. Then from it, greater height. Thank you very much. Well, for me, I know there was a report on the lay, what is an expenditure in the international membership, and the explanation was the way you wait for the invoices from the excess. Tell me, will there be a problem if you know the amount? If you send and you keep copy that you send, I'm looking at the possibility of the fluctuation of the currency, which might have an impact on payment. Anything is possible. And then you turn yourself over to thinking. So I'm trying to say, but we need to be proactive, look at the bigger picture and look at how best we can protect the very limited resources of government. So the FMA says we've got to have economic, use this, we're going to use these limited resources to economize. Avoid fruitless expenditure, because when you kept the permit by the budget, then the other, this other, this top up, it becomes a complete.
do not have, and you find yourself having to pay money you don't have, and you know, the strategy is a lot to keep easy, you know, for people to use money they don't have. Okay? So if you can go to that one, why you can't you correct, you can pay earlier, as long as you know the fee to safeguard and protect yourself from this fraudulent claims. Now, on the two critical unfunded data position, I think you need to make a submission to national treasurer. Because if you say these are critical, because remember, I've been in the civil service for 4 years, from 1981. On this one, critical goals, this is where there's a moratorium. They would compromise on critical posts. Because without these posts being filled, how do you implement your strategy? You need personnel to be able to implement your strategy effectively and efficiently and effectively. So this one you need to make a submission. You need to meet up also making a request for them to reconsider this too, because you need these data posts to be filled. But also, surprise, didn't declare a moratorium on filling of data posts? No. So it's all in the containment measures. No, but this one we can motivate. This one we can motivate. Critical, not like, you know, for the sake of feeding these critical souls. So make a submission. If you need us to help you, we can also make a submission. We can recommend that it's true, not the least. You know, instead of the exception from the rule, and then maybe they allow you to. But also the apply processes. I know there was a concern on the delay in the SEM processes, you know, and the procurement in particular. You know, that time, even this process, the life cycle is prescribed, it's time bound. If only we can develop the habit of complying and respecting, you know, for instance, the time frame needed. So in other words, it's prescribed, it's the law that you go through this cycle within a particular period. Because if you don't do that, you're going to incur some debt, or you're going to, you have costs. It will not go, it goes on cost, I hope it's moving. But it's costly that you're going to get rid. Because then it means, just at the moment when you must appoint, then you say, no, you did not find coming. Then you start afresh. There's money involved. I mean, money you don't have because you have budgeted money for that one cycle. So let's try, let's have some, because I can feel that you know you understand what you're about, and I can see where you're going. Your spirit wanting to move from all the bad reports that we got. We had when you just, hey, there's a red light coming up of this, but from what you have given us, there's hope. You change that into hope. But then you can't let them turn this. Maybe continue. Because we want to trust you on this. On the cafes. Now, I'm not sure why should they be dealing here. The chairperson of the audit committee or something. You arrive your planning processes with all your, you know, state whatever, you know, your partners. And then immediately after adoption, as long as you have their plan and are convinced that they're going to achieve on their mandate, you have to leave and request them to account to you on a quarterly basis. Which means that monitoring unit must do its work. And there must be very strict control, like we're trying to restrict it. You also become strict with those people accounted to you. So the chances I fully agree with you, Baba, and must not work with, must be a task. Yeah, that these people are going to do their work. As long as you recruit them correctly there, probably when you don't recruit correctly, people with some capacity, there you have a problem. But still, you can't keep this line. So as you keep it, also affecting negatively on your performance, financial performance. So just release this and then monitor them on a quarterly basis. And then transfers, all right? It's true. As long as the audit committee has got its audit committee charter, and the internal auditor accounts on a quarterly basis, and they recommend those institutions for judging them by their good intention. They want to perform.
to want you to improve in your financial and non-financial techniques. Also, I want to believe that in the audit committee, you have the auditor general sitting there, or not. You invite him as and when needed. You audit for the auditor general, which means you can, you know, you reveal issues before he even goes to, you know, to your audit opinion. You give those issues there. He's sitting there, I know, still without compromising his independence. You can ask for advice there, and then can you see that actually there's no need for people not to perform on the work? The whole control system is there. We just need to use them sensitively and efficiently. Alright? Then, your capacity needed in the budgeting of this one is there. You must move very fast. If you already have people there who don't have capacity, you know what to do. Train them with great speed. Can you ask National Treasury? National Treasury is available. And train them for you. Yes. And then you can also leadership program. All those students who come from, you know, other accountants who just finished and they must still do their leadership. We invite them to this unit. So that they go. Hey, you find solutions, you know, all the way. And then of course when you're for difference management, I heard that you need to get it up. Decisiveness. In the, what, in 1981, in the old order, hey, there was zero tolerance for any deviation. I'm telling you. So that is making me. This is what I'm made of. Little deviation, serious, and then they can even, but then they are the laws now. You know, you must be careful. So then, investigate, but then it will be suspended. Immediately, it will be dismissed. So that's why you have to be able to do whatever you do, but within the parameters of the law. Okay? Yeah, I think these are my only questions, but some were comments. I'm sure you are fine with them. Actually, didn't ask questions. So just that lady who was making comments. But even then, she made a comment, right? Yeah. Meaning that I can then use this time and give you to make your closing statement. But otherwise, you left us with hope. We don't want any campaign now moving forward. So I say next quarter, we want to see this under expenditure, more concern for the under expenditure. Remember, we follow money. Under expenditure and the impact. Because, you know, somewhere there was improvement on your financial and, okay, the financial performance, I think it's the first one. But, while there's improvement on financial, but not financial is low. In fact, what do you say? Where did the money go? Where did the money go? What very common and impact. If you say you use a rent to this one to find the thing, there must be balance between performance. Here's this one you must look at. Balance between performance and compliance. Performance and compliance. To do that, people will begin to trust government and give us a chance to do even more for them. Alright, can you give us your closing statement?
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honorable Members. Let me take the opportunity jumping up of the delegation to welcome the community, to welcome the school and to welcome also the issues which are to them. Take them very much seriously. We will be in a position where we come back again to indicate what we're doing around the issues which we have not allowed to do. There is just one question which we didn't respond to, which I think we need to respond to. That we are spending a huge amount of money on FLE oversight. No, the function is the one which is transferring money, the monitoring, the usage of money by the entities which are under us. It's not us who are spending that money. So if there is a other office and then we can monitor that the same results are supposed to be done under. Then you ask also the question of what are we doing to link up the society with people who are interested in what we are doing, but relying on us that we are choosing in this way. We launched last year the National ICT Forum, which then joins together a host of people who are interested in it. That forum is working now, and it is working very, very efficiently. Sometimes we would like to talk about also the forum, what it does. We also launched last year the ICTBEE charter. We finalized it, it's actually works now, we brought down the canvas, which is looking at issues of oversight of performance on the biker and other issues of PE. So these are two key factors which, in addition to us having ongoing meetings and discussions with the sector, I think we're just out of this process of reviewing the policies, which is a very intense process also, it's important to us. We had intergovernmental side of it, which is the structure of the local government, in fact, from the process. Then we had a panel of experts which were working with us, and we took kind of public participation also to the level of all the provinces. We were able to start to talk about advocates and how advocates can change the way we do things as well. So where we are giving it a little bit of attention, and we think that our work ought to be out there. The people should really relate to this area comfortably and utilize it every day to do it quite extraordinary too. So we are very grateful, and I think on behalf of the committee. Now in terms of the issues which are raised by the audit people, we take them very rigorously, and we know the hot ones, and I think they are our job. So we would actually then also act with respect to the issues which have been raised here. My last word is to say thank you to the committee. I think I need to say that we are very happy with the progress we are achieving. If we do not do it in the manner that it is obvious to our excited about what we it's not a harm. We haven't raised our voice. There is much to be done, and we understand that there are challenges which we are faced with. We need to be working very diligently so that this sometime we can actually come here and say that job is done. We've done everything which we have promised and what to do. But otherwise, we live in hope, and we are very energetic. There's a lot of energy that's going on in the organization. The organization has been done, definitely. The organization is working. I can call the committee and the services. I can think of it.
Unlike the one you mentioned, energetic, and I'm sure you've seen that I'm also in energetic committee. So the two of them work together. Can you imagine what we will produce? Thank you very much. Well, thanks to all of you for your full participation on this critical briefing from the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services on its financial and non-financial performance. I will just highlight some key issues emanating from the meeting or from our robust engagement. The committee notes that the department has gradually improved its performance over the years, while it has attained less than a quarter of targets in the 2014-15 financial year. The performance has significantly improved to 91% in 2016-16. We welcome this improvement and implore the department to aim for 100% and a clean audit as well. The important criteria is that there must be visible impact. Yes, we have the impact in terms of, you know, all the routine work we want to see out there, and the people are waiting for this impact. On the ground, the citizens actually connected in the post office functioning way. You can imagine, in the rural areas, the post office is for instance. They're actually looking for to increase in the post offices, bringing service to the people. Right. We welcome the positive feedback from the audit committee, chairperson, and the committee really appreciate the input. These are indeed the first steps towards integrated oversight. The committee remains seriously concerned at a turnaround of the post office. Once the situation improves, as this adversely affects the vulnerable rural poor and small businesses, the staff morale and the working conditions should be improved and prioritized. We commend the positive progress in allocating 8 banking licenses to the post office, as this will see our vulnerable citizens banked. Right. The committee expects regular reports in this regard, and will be monitoring this closely. Yesterday, an honorable member who is also using this banking facility, she expressed her fears, because her money, she wasn't sure if she was still going to get her money, or she was going to take it out quickly before this thing collapses. So you can imagine, this is affected, well, how much more about vulnerable people out there. Thank you so much, you brought back
can. And then, yeah, for especially the rural people, because they are also a government priority. Given that citizens have been waiting and wish to see the accelerated rollout of broadband connectivity, we expect regular reports showing actions taken on this. There are African countries such as Kenya that have taken us on this, and this should be addressed as this committee approves budgets to see these objectives realized. This also includes ensuring ICT strategy is aligned across all departments, as this affects the performance as well. You can imagine if we are impacting negatively on other departments. I think that itself should make you come up with an accelerated plan to make sure that you don't impact negatively on the performance of these other departments or sister departments. The committee values the contribution that Department of Telecommunications Postal Services is making towards the NDP vision 2030. We implore that department, we implore the department to entrench the principles of value for money and good governance. And we remain ready to assist the department to achieve its targets. These words, I really would like to thank all of you for the fruitful deliberation. Thank you very much. You can be excused. Honorable members, just one or two things. This is not lovely, one, so it's only one to three. But the rules allow us to proceed with the payment. Four. Then it means we can proceed with the remaining budget. Shall we then declare the meeting closed for also the honorable members? Thank you so much. Thank you for your attention.
Wait,